Well, I'm very grateful for the invitation given to me to come and share particularly this weekend with you. And we can say to God be the glory, great things he has done for you as a church. And we give God all the glory. Thank you for your prayers for us during the last 7 months and then particularly during the last few weeks of my wife's illness. And God was good to us, and God is good to us. And she is now with Christ, her Saviour. People ask me how I'm feeling after 62 years of a wonderful marriage. And the words keep coming back to me. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 32. The words of the Lord Jesus. I am not alone. The Father is with me. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the promise of our Saviour, never to leave us or forsake us. And so we pray, Lord, now that thy Holy Spirit will come upon the page of Holy Scripture and make it real and living to each one of us as we ask these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, teach us how to pray. Is that your longing this morning? Perhaps you've been a Christian for many, many years. Lord, teach us how to pray. You may be a new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, so you need to make this prayer. You and I, Lord, teach us how to pray. And with that in mind, I want to read two verses in the Old Testament. I don't know the page number in the Church Bible. I'll find it soon for you. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. First book of Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 4. You probably found it already before I found it for you. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, page 361. Verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Lord, teach us how to pray. I'm glad I wasn't asked, or have ever been asked in 60 years of ministry. I'm glad I've never been asked to preach on 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. I find that very difficult. If you want some reading this afternoon, we'll do that. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 to 15, because generally it's just a great pages of names and lists and kings and rulers. And then you come to this priceless privilege. It's the only way I can put it. This priceless jewel. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel. And then this great prayer starts with a little word with two letters. Oh. Oh. Who was Jabez? We know very, very little about him. We understand that he was a descendant of Judah by Asher. Doesn't help us much. But it also tells us in verse 9 something very interesting. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. What does that mean? Well, I believe that Jabez was a God-fearing man, and he was devoted to God. He stood out quite amazing to his generation. He was honorable. He was God-fearing. He was a lover of the true God. And yet, he was not yet fully satisfied. That's why we have his prayer in verse 10. It's a wonderful prayer. At first glance of this prayer, you might think that this prayer is very, very self-centered. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me, enlarge my coast, that your hand might be with me, that you would keep me from evil. It is not a self-centered prayer. It is a God-honoring prayer, God-glorifying prayer, as we shall see. The spirit of this prayer, the content of this prayer, and the answer to this prayer. Those are the three simple divisions. The spirit of the prayer, the content, what it contains, what it's all about, and then the wonderful way in which God answers the prayer of Jabez. To whom does Jabez pray? Very simply, on the God of Israel. You might say, well, there's nothing special about that. The God of Israel, he is not just making some title statement, but he's making a very clear and important pronunciation. Who are you praying to? Jabez, the God of Israel. What does this teach us? It teaches us, dear friend, that Jabez has a high view of God in his prayer life. And I dare to suggest that we need to bring that back into the life of our churches today. A very, very low view, very often, of the God of Israel. When you come to the prayer meeting, week by week, you, dear friend, are coming to pray not to just a father, though he is a father, not just some simple Jesus, though he is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You're coming in your prayer meetings into the presence of the all-powerful God. You're coming in your prayer meetings in your church into the presence of the all-faithful God. You're coming in your prayer meetings and in your private devotion at home to the covenant-keeping God. Don't forget it. So I believe this is important. Who are you praying to, Jabez? The God of Israel, the mighty God. Furthermore, we see what I would call the passion of this man's prayer, or the spirit. The passion of this man's prayer is this little word with two letters. Oh. Oh. That's the spirit. Teaching us that the prayer of Jabez is nothing cold, nothing clinical, nothing hard, nothing too familiar. It was the late Dr. Lloyd-Jones who often would say, God waits to hear the O's of his people. Do the O's ring out at Castlefield's prayer meeting week by week? And as you come in prayer in your home, individually, with your family, is it marked out with the O? The passion, the spirit of his prayer. Oh, the Bible is full of the O's. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. That's the kind of prayer we need in our prayer meetings. So many prayer meetings today, the O is missing. A long list of our requests, the things that we think we need. And we're in the presence of the God of Israel. Oh, oh. What is this O all about? Well, it means, dear friend, that we recognize our total dependence upon God. That's what Jabez teaches us. Our total dependence upon our God. It teaches us that we are to have a felt sense of our need. It's all wrapped up in the O. It teaches us to have a fresh awareness that he, our God, the God of Israel, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or could think. Do you believe that, my dear friend? Let me repeat it, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That's why you cry, oh! A fresh unction and filling of the Holy Spirit. This is the language of a man, a woman, a young Christian, a teenager who loves Christ. This fresh unction, this fresh outpouring, it causes you, it enables you to say, oh, 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 the God of Israel, I will not let thee go. I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. This has well been said, dear friend, that we need to agonize in our church life as well as organize. I think that's important. There are many churches I find in the land today who are very busy organizing, but there's very little agonizing. So I pray this anniversary weekend that from now on, Castlefields Chapel, week by week, will be filled with the O's to the God of Israel. It was Martin Luther who said that prayer is the sweat of the soul. That's worth remembering. Prayer is the sweat of the soul. Oh. Then let us think of the content of this man's prayer. That thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. He longs for the greatest provisions that a man can know. A woman can know, godly man, a godly woman. What is it? That thou wouldest bless me indeed. Those blessings are not material blessings, though we thank God when he does thus bless us. But I believe that in this prayer of Jabez, and the longing of his heart, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, he longs for spiritual blessings. I say thank God for every material blessing, but they're not important. We thank God for them. We need them. But oh, how wonderful when he blesses us spiritually. For the Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And that's so, you know. You may have all that this world has to offer. You might have the finest house in Derby, the beautiful garden and everything else. I've got to be careful what I say because I'm staying the weekend. A lovely house with a lovely garden. So I take back those words. But oh, dear friend, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Is it your prayer this morning? Bless me indeed. Not with more wealth, but give me spiritual blessing. Oh, how precious. Oh, how precious. My dear wife, towards the end, she knew so much of spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. She would tell people over and over again, I'm in God's waiting room. I'm in God's waiting room. She said 3 days before she passed on, I'm by the river. The doors are opening, she said. I knew what she meant. Heaven, heaven, the Lord granted her a peep into the glory. Spiritual blessings are wonderful, aren't they? Our physical, material blessings may be taken from us. Some of you, some of us perhaps, have known little of earthly possessions. But spiritual blessings, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. To know the shining of God's face. That's a wonderful spiritual blessing. The shining of God's face upon you. The psalmist could say in Psalm 67, verse 1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. The psalmist could say in Psalm 80, turn us again, O God, cause thy face to shine. And we
shall be saved. There's nothing more wonderful than to know God's face shining upon you. Oh, that thou didst bless me indeed. To have an immediate sense of God's presence, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Do you know anything of it? In your church life, in your church prayer meetings, in your home, the immediate sense of God's presence. We read in the scriptures that the glory of the Lord filled the house. Oh, how we need that in our churches. As I travel around the country, church after church, I don't so often sense the glory of the Lord filling the house. But I long for it. And you ought to long for it. The glory of the Lord. Oh, that thou wouldest bless us indeed. To have an overflowing sense of God's peace. Have you got that this morning? Do you know the reality of the words of Christ? My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me with this peace. Do you know anything of an overwhelming sense of joy? Joy. Do you know anything of what Peter means in his first letter? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's wonderful, isn't it? Those are the kind of blessings we need. Yes, every material blessing we thank God for day by day. But oh, says Jabez, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And I think Paul sums it all up for us. In his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 8, Paul says, now you are full, now you are rich. Oh, friend, I'm not so concerned about your bank balance. And don't be too concerned about mine. Now you're full. Now you're rich. Because the blessing of the Lord is upon you. The greatest provision a man can know. The greatest providence a man may experience, Jabez says, that thy hand may be with me. What does he mean? Well, I believe he's speaking here of the hand of providence. Have you ever heard that term? The hand of providence. As a Christian, you don't believe in luck. You don't believe in crossing your fingers. You don't believe it's unsafe to walk under a ladder, though it may be a bit foolish if he's busy painting at the top of the ladder. The hand of providence. I love that term. The hand of providence. That thine hand, says Jabez, might be with me. Roland Bingham says there are no accidents in the life of a Christian. Let me repeat that. There are no accidents in the life of a Christian. My wife would so often say to me, at God's appointed time. At God's appointed time. And then she would say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Is that wonderful? Is that wonderful? The greatest providence upon your dying bed to be able to say to nurses and doctors and consultants and families and friends, it is well with my soul. How can anyone say that in the face of death? Because they believe firmly in the hand of providence. All things do work together for good to those that love God. The good things and the seemingly bad things. The bright things and the things in my life that may disappoint and distress me. Under the hand of a sovereign God, they do work for good for the child of God. William Cooper says, happy the man who sees a God employed in all the good and ill that checkers life. So as a Christian, you are able to say with confidence, my times are in his hands, the hand of providence.
God's gracious dealings with his own people, listed in Psalm 78. I love this. The way in which he guided, the way in which he provided for his people through the wilderness journey. And in Psalm 78 and verse 72, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? The child of God, whatever you face this week, whatever you face in the future, to know that you're being guided by the skillful hand of a sovereign God. The hand of providence. This brings true rest. Have you got rest this morning in your heart, in your soul? Even as a Christian, you may be troubled and anxious and worried. This brings true rest. In thy strong hand I lay me down. So shall the work be done. For who can work so wondrously as the Almighty One? I'm glad that my times are in God's hands. This brings me true contentment. So I'm able to say with the hymn writer, work on then, Lord, till on my soul eternal light shall break, and in thy likeness perfected I satisfied shall wake. This brings me true satisfaction that by God's grace I'm able to say, not my will, but thine be done. Thine be done. Furthermore, the greatest protection a man can know, for Jabez comes towards the end of this prayer, the greatest protection that a man can know, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Isn't that interesting? A quick reading, you would tend to say, surely he should have said, that it may not grieve thee. Our sins do grieve him, but listen, Jabez says in this short prayer, that it may not grieve me. The greatest protection that I could know, I need it. You need it. Every hour we need it. The sin which so easily besets us, the fiery darts of the devil, he knows the weakest areas of your life and mine, that it may not grieve me. Who is sufficient for these things? And Jude tells us, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his Father with exceeding great joy. And you need to pray every day, that the sins all around may not grieve me, may not hurt me, may not pollute me, may not destroy me, may not undermine my faith. This was what Jabez was praying for. For these sins do distress us, they do alarm us, they do weaken us, they do pollute us, they do captivate us, they do hurt us, they do bring us pain. As one has said, so active is sin, it is known as lively sin. So you need to pray, and I need to pray with Jabez. Oh God, God of providence, God of my life, please, please protect me in the evil day, that these sins may not grieve me. And last but not least, we have a wonderful answer to the prayer. Wonderful answer. And God granted him that which he requested. Literally, it could read like this: and God fully answered that which Jabez prayed for. It pleased the Lord to answer such a prayer. In fact, I dare to say, dear friend, that the Almighty God had to answer such a prayer, because it was a totally God-glorifying prayer from beginning to end. Here we see the fruit of his blessing. Here we see the answer to his prayer. And when God answers our prayers, how careful we should be to give him all the praise and all the glory. So James Montgomery says in that lovely hymn, Lord, teach us how to pray aright, with reverence, the God of Israel, not the daddy God, not the over-familiar God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Oh, 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 God. Oh, God. Teach us how to pray aright. Though dust and ashes in thy sight, we must draw near. Give these, and then thy will be done, thus strengthened with thy might. We, by thy Spirit and thy Son, shall pray and pray aright. May these words burn into our hearts this morning, beloved. And may Castlefields Chapel, particularly the prayer meetings, week by week, be filled with the oh, 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 that thou wouldest bless us indeed for the glory of his name. Amen. Shall we pray? Almighty and everlasting God, we would make these words our own words afresh this morning. Lord, teach us how to pray aright. We confess in thy presence that many, many churches have no prayer meetings. Many, many churches, the prayer meetings are very light-hearted. Oh, Lord our God, look upon this fellowship here, thanking thee for all that thou hast done, particularly in these past 10 years, and grant that thy dear people who meet here week by week and Lord's Day by Lord's Day may have a very real sense that God is in the midst. And those who come through the doors may know that the living God is worshipped and loved here. Bless thy dear people. Help each one of us, O God, in our daily walk with God. Help each one of us in our daily prayer life and reading of thy word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 388, Lord, teach us how to pray aright, with reverence and with fear. Though dust and ashes in thy sight, we must draw near. 388.
Give me liberty, mercy.
love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.